Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new Sprina Sessions right here on Restoptopia. Happy Monday to you all as we begin a brand new week for our favorite ship, Spencer and Trina, on General Hospital, a.k.a. Sprina. I'm Keela Cash, and joining me today is a return guest to the Sessions, upgraded to an extra special guest co-host, returning to talk all things Spencer and Trina. From this week, I bring to you back on the Sessions, Chris. Welcome back, Chris.
Hi, nice to be back.
And you know, someone else was supposed to be here today. And I feel like it's deja vu from last week, because Patrick, a.k.a. Frank Valentini, went ghost. And we love him. We love him. But I know he's producing Nurse's Ball and getting ready for May Sweeps. He's a very busy guy. So
he is.
He's very busy, Chris. Extremely busy. But he puts out fan edits every day, heating up the timeline. He's a great supporter of Sprina. God bless Frank Valentini, a.k.a. Patrick. But we were supposed to have another extra special guest co-host blessing the Sessions today by way of Texas. Yes, Texas. One of the brain trusts behind the Fall for Sprina campaign. But unfortunately, she is unable to join us tonight because, like Frank, Francesca Valentini was booked.
Francesca. Shame.
And credit goes to Chris for giving Texas this name. I cannot take full credit for this.
Hey, well, you got Frankie, a.k.a. Patrick, and now you have Francesca.
They doing work, though. They're busy.
They are.
Putting the 60th anniversary together. Nurse's Ball, May Sweeps, trying to get that Emmy reel ready to go. They're working in tandem to make sure we're fed for the next month or so. So we're going to give them grace, but in all seriousness, Texas, we're going to miss you tonight. We're going to have fun in your place. We're going to have a blast. We love you. We will miss you. And you have an open invitation always right here on the Sprina Sessions. But we will carry on, push forward, and talk about the week that was for our favorite couple. But before we do so, I want to get some news items out of the way first by way of Uncle Victor's medical update. Because as we found out last week, Miss Selena Wu slipped Victor a little something to make him flaccid. So he went to GH to investigate this matter further. And come to find out, Finn, noted disease expert, discovered a pathogen. And I love how they scripted this, saying it was a targeted attack to a specific area. And this pathogen has completed its mission. It has done its job. And there's nothing Uncle Victor can do about it. So in summary, his dick is broke permanently. It can't stroke. It can't get up. The swimmers, Chris, are dead.
Yay. I guess he won't be procreating any more Cassidines. Oh, my God.
The bloodline is shut down.
Yeah. On his end, anyway.
So we learned that this week. That was too much information, honestly. And the only thing I care about is where are the doves, okay? It's been 3 months.
Oh, yeah.
And they're missing still. So I don't give a damn about his flat dick that doesn't move up anymore. I want the doves to be reproduced and given to Spencer as soon as possible. But I'm sorry, Victor, and your penis problem. You know, I'm sure Mikos and Stavros and Stefan and them are just laughing in hell right now at your misery, because they never had that problem, ever.
They sure didn't. They are probably laughing, like I am.
Helena, too. Like, that's what you get.
That's what you get for trusting people. Letting people slip stuff in your drinks. And the thing is, he thinks it's Laura. Oh, he has no clue.
It's a very targeted attack when you think about it.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
I love it. But also, on the agenda this week, a couple of things. So as we get closer to hopefully the lovemaking between Spencer and Trina, we want this to be a very special moment. And I am encouraging the following hashtags to be brought to GH. The hashtag pick Tabby up movement, followed by the pick her up movement. Spencer, pick her up, lift her up, take care of business when need be, sir. That's all we ask for, to make sure this process for the lovemaking against the wall, preferably, is seamless and hot, and it will cause us all to faint.
Yes, definitely. Pick her up, put her up against a wall. I don't care at this point. I like those hashtags. Pick up the Trina movement. Yes.
We're advocating for it. Also, booty duty. That is another hashtag. That is a movement that I greatly appreciate. Shout out to Darlene for that, because that's very important. That's an agenda that I support, I get behind, I endorse, and I want to see more of it for our ship very soon as well. And this wraps up the Sabrina News Bulletin for this week. Information to get you through your everyday life as a Sabrina fan. As we segue to quite the week on General Hospital for Spencer and Trina, a short week in some ways, only 2 days involving our favorite couple. And I want to dive in on something beforehand, because I want to offer this as an appetizer to the main course due to our short week, because we are in a very special period as GH fans and Sabrina fans, because on Saturday, March 25th, will mark the 1 year anniversary since Tabiana Ali joined the cast as Trina Robinson. And I want to reflect on her 1 year run on the show so far, Chris. So can you dive in into some of your favorite moments and your thoughts about Tabby joining the show and her impact as Trina Robinson as we approach that 1 year anniversary on Saturday?
Wow. What an accomplishment for Tabiana Ali as she became Trina Robinson on GH. First and foremost, I just want to say to her, congratulations. Shout out to her big time. I was so excited to hear that they were recasting Trina. Of course, we always give kudos to the one who laid the foundation of Trina Robinson, which was Sydney Michaela. But then we had Tabiana Ali come in, and I remember her first episode in that PCPD interrogation room, and Spencer walks in, and that whole scene just captivated me as you know, a fan. And I have to say, from that time on, all I saw was Tabiana grow into this role and make it her own. And I'm so excited for her. Like, I am excited for her and what's to come, even with the storylines. And when she shares with her fans about how she's even excited, that makes me more excited, because it just tells me that she's really taken the role on as her own. When I see Trina Robinson, I see Tabiana Ali. There's no question in my mind. She's beautiful, gorgeous woman, but not only on the outside, she's just a great person. And she plays Trina very well, not only in the serious aspects of her role, but also brings the humor. I mean, she has just some good timing. Makes me cackle sometimes in some of these episodes. I can remember distinctly the summer episodes where they were at the pool, and the way she pushed Esme into the pool, I mean, it was hilarious. Or the looks that she gives. I mean, she's up there with Nicholas when it regards her facial expressions. I just love the way she's really come into her own and made Trina Robinson part of who she is. And I'm excited for what's to come. I really am.
Me too. This year has gone by so fast. I remember I was on Twitter, mm-hmm. a lurker at the time, because I was like strictly pro wrestling, but I was on the GH tag reading every single day, all up in my screen of business. And then I saw the recast announcement, but I felt this overwhelming sense of like excitement that I felt good about it, because it reminded me that GH was invested in Trina Robinson, the character, more so than ever, to recast the character and to really push Sabrina forward. And her first day on set, I remember her interactions with Brooke and Rial, and that was such a loving family moment. And then you saw the scene with Joss and Cam and their friends, and it was light and it was lovely. But the big test obviously was coming with the interrogation room scenes. Because can you imagine that your first few days is going to involve, hey, guess what? Your character's going to get arrested and framed and right. set up.
Yeah.
And you are going to have to sell this to the hilt, feet deep in the water. And she does beautifully. And we saw that first scene between her and Nicholas in that interrogation room. And I felt mad, overheated. I felt like, whoa, this is different. This is next level sexual chemistry. I am sold. Nothing more to see here. Let's get the ball rolling. And it's taken us a long time to get to the kiss last month, but it was worth the journey. And Tabayan has been incredible. She is such a humble, beautiful, classy young woman. And she just brings so much gravitas to this character. And she is Trina Robinson. And this wasn't her life a year ago. At one point, she wanted to say, you know, this was fun. I'm just going to retire from the acting game. It's all good. But then she didn't give up on her dreams. She fought for it. And look where she is right now, gracing the cover of multiple magazines, killing it on this show, and infusing elements of herself via her fashion sense, her sense of humor. And anything she's given on this show, she knocks it out of the park. And for that, I'm grateful. And 1 year has gone by, and I cannot wait for what's to come in year two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's a force to be reckoned with. And I have to give kudos to her castmates, Black Hospital. My God, like, they just play off one another so beautifully. And they really did well for February sweeps. I mean, I was so excited to see all of them on there and her interact with her mom, her dads. You know, and even, you know, her uncle Zeke came into the picture and her grandfather and all these different characters that come into play. And she could just about play up against anyone, even the big veterans like Jeannie Francis. I mean, she does well with everyone who surrounds her. So like we said before, we're just excited about what's to come for her. And kudos to her that making 1 year next Saturday. Just excited all around.
Me too. And Black Hospital, shout out to you guys. The ratings in February was big, great. Those 2 weeks was incredible. And that is a sign that we want more. We don't want February only. We want March, April, May, June, et cetera. We want to cover all the months because Black Hospital is really that draw. The storylines are really good if you have the support behind it. And I just want them to understand, like, if you build it, we will come. If the storylines are good, and they were definitely good in February.
Oh, they were definitely hitting the ball. I have to say this too. Trina being such a young adult and an African-American young woman, I mean, and doing so well in this role as Trina Robinson, I just have to give her kudos to those that can now see that if there are young Black girls out there that want to pursue acting and think to themselves, just like she did a year ago, that she was wanting to give up. Never give up on your dreams, like she has said, because you can see her and how she has taken on this role and ran with it, basically. And so I think she's just a great representation all around for young Black women who want to pursue this career as well. So
absolutely. Shake the table, change the game. She's a blueprint for me, for any young Black actress out there that wants to pursue this as a career, whether it's daytime, primetime, streaming, acting on stage, doing what you want to do via internet shows, whatever you want to do, pursue your dream, fight for it, because there's an avenue for you to do this and kill it and be a draw, be a ratings mover, be a difference maker, and change the game in a year. And that is what I love about Tabayana, to come in to do this and to do it like this on a level that is so damn cool. And I just can't wait to see what's going to happen in the next year or so, because this is crazy. 1 year in and you change the game, and I'm just overjoyed.
Yeah. She's the it girl, man.
In every sense of the word, we love that for her. And congrats on 1 year. Take your flowers, take a bow. We love you. We adore you. And congrats, because you did that all in 1 year. As we segue to this week's General Hospital, going down over 2 days for our ship on Wednesday and Thursday, as we kick things off with a trip down to Kelly's at Cameron's 9 to 9. And I hate to say, I won't be able to say that joke too much longer, but he was on work duty. So I was very happy about that. As Trina and Joss went to visit Cam, because Cam was going to break some news to Joss, Trina, and Spencer about him leaving Port Charles and going to Stanford on his soccer scholarship. So we have this conversation at Kelly's between the three of them at first, very light and fun, but Cam is still a little salty about his breakup with Joss, and rightfully so. So we have this random ass conversation about the Mercer twins, who we've never seen a day in GH history, but apparently they go to PCU. and they're twinsies. And there's this dude, his name is slipping my mind, but he was dating the twins at the same time. And they did it deliberately. But dude could tell them apart because of a birthmark. And Joss, thinking that, hey, me and Cam are good buddies, he can share all the tea. So he was about to, but then he remembered, you know, you cheated on me. You left me. You broke my heart. I don't think I want to be all lovey-dovey and sharing all this intel with you. So I'm going to keep the story to myself. And it was a very awkward moment, which I completely understood because he ain't there with her yet. But we'll get back to them shortly. So eventually Spencer shows up because he took a trip down to Spring Ridge to visit his baby brother, Damien, and Esme, who we cannot stand. And he immediately antagonized Esme. And Laura was trying to be the peacemaker. And she basically told him, I got this. Let me get her to trust me. And therefore, she'll find a way to trust you. So you go on about your business. Go see your friends. He does so. He shows up. And Cameron breaks the news that he was leaving Port Charles, heading to Stanford on the soccer scholarship for the spring quarter. And Spencer, his spidey senses start tingling immediately. You know, the side eye, like, something ain't right here. Why are you really leaving? And he is going to attribute everything on Esme, because Esme has ruined the friendship quad between the four of them due to the framing of Trina, the sex tape of Cam and Joss at the cabin last year, the baby brother situation at Spring Ridge. Esme, Marsha. Spencer was going through it. He was tired of the Esme discussion, of the talk of her ruining their lives. Joss says, this is not about Esme. We know it ain't about her because, So you ain't gonna say that out loud. Trina doesn't know what's going on still, and that's a damn shame. But we're gonna get back to all of that shortly. So Spencer leaves Kelly's in a tizzy. He's pissed off because he's just over the whole Esme situation. And we have Trina look on. And I thought to myself, Chris, she's going to get up. She's going to go outside. She's going to talk to her man, maybe share a hug, hold his hand, kiss him, do something, anything. But instead, she leaves Kelly's on her own accord, does not follow Spencer, and she heads to Spring Ridge to confront Esme for Thursday's episode. Now, granted, I love the looks. I love the stare. It gave me something on Wednesday, but it wasn't enough because they barely talked to each other, which was very upsetting to me.
Is very upsetting. I'm gonna review all that you ran down on Wednesday's episode because I picked up on some pointers. If you notice, GH likes to use the word always. It happened with Spencer and Trina, where he was at the hospital visiting Trina, caring for Ava, and he said, I'm here for you always. And then I picked up on it again because they were outside Kelly's. Joss and Trina, oh, we're here for each other. And of course, they dropped the word always. So I thought that was interesting. And then, you know, the whole college gossip went on, like you said, and these twins got involved. And then Cam has a flashback of catching Joss and Dex together. And of course, you know, he realizes, I'm not going to say anything else to you. You know, you cheated on me. I'm not in the right headspace to really share any kind of funness at one point that I once did with you. So, you know, I can totally understand about how he feels regarding carrying on a conversation with her. But then, you know, like you said, Spencer comes in and he's like, what's the reason you calling us here? And then Cam breaks the news that he's leaving. And what I notice all the time about Nicholas Chavez is his not only the lines that he delivers and how he delivers them, but his facial expressions. And I don't know if you picked up on this, but even though he put it all on Esme, oh, you're leaving because of Esme, and everybody's on the Esme train all of a sudden and feeling bad for Esme. But his facial expressions, he looked at Jocelyn for a split second. And I picked up on it because to me, I was like, okay, Trina doesn't know, which, like you said, I, for the love of God, I don't understand why. She still doesn't know the whole thing of the cheating going on between Joss and Dex. But be that as it may, you know, he looks at Joss, and I thought for a split second the writing was going to go there where Spencer was going to slip up and say something about Joss just because he's he's not in control totally of his emotions right now because he just came from Spring Ridge, you know, dealing with all that. And as you call him, baby Damien, not with him. I like to call him Chunk Chunk. He's the cutest baby. Anywho, yeah, so I picked up on that, you know, I really thought he was going to go there or maybe make some sly remark to Jocelyn and blame her. But when he went the other direction and brought up to Cam and all of them about how Esme, you know, did this and tried to split him up and his friendships, I was a little taken aback by that. But yeah, and then he leaves and he storms out and yells out, needs to stop, you know, dramatic Spencer. I don't think he would be Spencer if he wasn't so dramatic at times. But I don't blame him. I mean, everyone who he is close to, like his grandmother and Trina now, and it seems to him like they're defending Esme. And I kind of get a sense, you know, I kind of understand where he's coming from. Like, how are you defending her? Or not, maybe not defending her, but feeling sorry for her, maybe pity because she doesn't remember. And, you know, she's trying to take care of her child. But his whole point is, listen, out of all the times, he's the only one that has consistently stood up for the utter hatred he has towards her. Like, he's so over her and done. And he doesn't care that she's lost her memory and whatnot. He just wants to make sure that his brother is in a safer place than prison. So, I'm with you, Keila. I just feel like I expected Trina to run after him. Or maybe not run after him. Let's not get so dramatic. But at least follow him outside. Because it's happened before. And that didn't happen. Not even a look. I mean, she did look back towards his way as he was storming out. And I caught that facial expression of hers. You know, she showed empathy towards him. And she kind of knew when he was starting to go off, because I loved her line, excuse you. Like, she was like, how are you going to just get mad at Cam for leaving when he got a scholarship and that, and we should be happy for him? But he goes off on his tangent, as Spencer always does. And Trina then gets, you know, you could tell her wheels are spinning by her facial expressions. And as she's looking back, as he's storming out, that glance that she gives, I don't know, I picked up on it that you could sense, wow, you know, there's my man. He's leaving. He's pissed off. I feel for him. I don't know what to do. And I think her wheels are turning. And that's when she starts getting the idea, like, you know what? I got to see this shit for myself. You know, I got to go see Esme for myself and see, is this on the up and up about her? So
Trina always taking the initiative. And I love that for her. And she did. She confronted Esme at the end of Wednesday's episode because she was missing her binky. What kind of mother are you to miss her binky? I digress in all of that. And then she says, looking for this. And then we have the confrontation we've been waiting for a very long time. And I got things to say about that segment shortly. But I totally agree with you about Spencer being overly dramatic, and rightfully so. And he even goes on a tangent Thursday, which I appreciate. But he is going through it right now. Esme has really torpedoed his life in the last couple of years. And he did give Joss that sly look of, it's you too, by the way. That's why my cousin bestie's leaving town. But I can't say that because my woman doesn't know what you've really been doing for the last few months. And Trina needs to know the full tea about Joss's extracurricular activities since I don't know December.
Yeah, for real. I mean, do you think she will? Well, I think she'll find out eventually. But do you think she'll be pissed at Spencer for not saying anything to her about it?
I think it's not his place. That's your best friend's place to tell you what's going on. And I think it's important for him to have the confidence of Cam in that moment, which I understand. He knows silently what's going on. But as the bestie for Joss and Trina, the sisters before misters mantra, that says a lot about their relationship right now.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I'm a little pissed at Jocelyn right now and how she's treated Trina. It almost comes off to me as fake. In a sense, because here you are trying to not lecture Trina, but whenever chance you get, you give her a dig of what you think Trina should be doing with Spencer. Who are you to tell her when you've been over there sleeping with Dex every chance you get. Ugh, let's not go there. I don't need any more flashbacks.
We've had enough.
Yes, exactly.
We've had many flashbacks.
And not enough of our couple, Sprina, by the way.
You know, we're going to get to a lot of that on this episode because choices by GH. That's all I'm going to say about that. You know what? I might not want a grilled cheese sandwich, but I'll take something. I'll take anything. Chicken piccata, chicken parm.
BLT.
Hell, you know what? Heather tears those up. So I got to feel that they're pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Hot fries, dip it with some ketchup. But let's read Laura, shall we? Let's read Queen Laura.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she went to Spring Ridge to check up on Esme and baby Damien Chunk Chunk Cassadine. And the baby's so cute. This cute, adorable baby. Ugh. It's going to end the world someday. But for right now, he's absolutely adorable. So Laura is trying to... How can I say this? Finesse Esme, trying to lower her guard. And she had me in the first half. I'm not going to lie. To quote that famous footballer that talked about, hey, we were down in the first half, had me going, but we came through in the second half, won the game. So Laura had me going, thinking that she was helping Spencer, saying, I got you. I'm going to lower her guard. I'm going to get this under control. The baby's coming home with us today. We're good. So she goes over there to talk to Esme alongside Kevin. Note a psychiatrist who can read people appropriately. And Esme is his niece, and that is his great nephew. So he's trying to protect his family as well, but also examine and assess the situation. So Esme is uber protective of the baby, doesn't want Nicholas or Spencer around the child. And she thinks Laura is trying to use her to gain access to the baby by way of helping them. And Laura says, you know what? I care about the baby. I love the baby. I want what's best for the baby. And Esme is like, oh, I'm the mother and I know what's best. I love him. He's a part of me. I can't let him go. He belongs with me, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about her tears. So Laura does not want her grandson to be raised in a prison. It's not a good look. Arkham Asylum is not a good place for your kid, rightfully so. So Laura is trying to volunteer, hey, me and Kevin can raise Damien Chunk Chunk while you do your bid here or at Pentonville. And when the time comes, you can be a part of your baby's life. But let's give this baby a proper environment to thrive, to live, and to be happy outside of the prison walls. So Esme's like, you know what? I trust you. You're a good person. But every time I see Kevin, I see my homicidal maniac father. And every time I see you, I see Nicholas and Spencer. So therefore, I'm going to trust my instincts and keep the baby in prison with me. So Laura accepts this. And Esme says, it's time for me to go. Baby's getting sleepy. So she walks away. Now, I understood the segment. I was all in on it. I was here for the content. And then Laura had the audacity to waste tears on this bitch by saying the following. No matter what people say, she really does love that baby. And she's crying. Kevin's like, okay. Even I ain't shedding tears like that, but you do you, baby. You do you, honey. And they walk away. They walk away arm in arm because Kevin's seen things in his life, okay? Like, I know my side of the family. I ain't crying. No tears like that, okay? I only cry for Mac. Shit, okay? Let me make that perfectly clear. Mac, Daddy, and I, we share tears. We bond. Esme, she family, but I ain't crying over that bitch. But Laura is so emotional. Like, girl, ain't no way I'm wasting my salt on her. But Chris... Your take on Laura almost making it to the finish line, but God damn it, she folded like a tent.
She sure did, like a deck of cards. I have mad love for Jeannie Francis. I've watched her for years play this role of Laura. She's phenomenal. She's the veteran. She's queen mother on the set. But I, like you, I was waiting. patiently in this segment of the episode, watching her closely. Where is she going to go with this? Because I remember in the hospital, as much as she defended Spencer and tried to talk him down off the ledge, so to speak, after finding out what Ryan did and his whole plot against him and his father, I just found Laura to be too sympathetic to Esme. Here you have your grandson who wants nothing but a safe and secure place to raise his brother. And he feels prison is just not it. Hello. And I know that Laura agrees with him. And I know that she tried to talk him into leaving because she didn't want Esme to be set off by seeing him there and all that. But I don't know. I just feel like, and I said this once in Spaces, I think, or in a conversation I had with our other Sabrina fans. My take on Laura is she has a lot of regret from her past about what happened with her and when Nicholas was a baby, her son. She, if those out there that are listening and they've watched the story of Laura and how she came out to be with Nicholas, she was separated from Nicholas for quite some time. She had to leave him on that island after she was captured and held captive for so long. And finally, she gets off that island and she leaves Nicholas, and he doesn't return until he's like an adult, a young adult, to poor Charles. And so she missed all that time from the time he was like a baby to young adult. And I feel she has a lot of regret for that. And so she sees Esme, she sees her in Esme, in a sense. And not to get too deep, but I really believe that that's what's going on in her headspace. As much as she wants to take care of her grandson in the best way possible, and I believe her when she says to Esme, you know, I'm only here for the best interests of the baby. So yeah, you might see Nicholas in me and you might see my grandson in me, but at the end of the day, prison is no place to be raising my grandson. And so if you can trust me enough, and I like how she put a spin on it too, because I was like, okay, Laura, I'm with you. So far, so good. You know, when she starts that talk to Esme about, you know, and me and Kevin will take good care of him until you're able to. And I'm like, okay, Laura, I see where you're going with this. But then, like you said, the segment ended and she starts with the tears. Oh my God. Like, Laura, really? And Kevin just... Kevin gave her the look like, lady, if you don't stop crying right now. I mean, you got to understand, Kevin lived with a psycho maniac who's his twin brother. So these tears to him are probably like crocodile tears. I mean, I know he loves Laura dearly and he only wants best for the baby as well. But I think Kevin's more level-headed in this instance only because he knows that, you know, the baby, he sees that Esme, he believes that Esme's amnesia is not a fake thing, that it's true. She's, I was going to say she lost her damn mind. Yes, she did. She lost her memories. I think he's more level-headed in the sense that he believes that Chunk needs to stay for now and not upset Esme. And I was just disappointed in Laura at the end of the segment because I'm like, Laura, come on. But then again, I understand kind of where she's coming from because she has that guilt, that residue from when she was young and couldn't raise her own child. And so I think that's where she feels that tug, if you will, between how she feels about wanting Spencer to be okay with raising the baby and then also wanting Esme, who's the mom, because she's always said to Spencer, let's not forget, she's always said to Spencer, you know, Esme, no matter how we feel about her, no matter what she's done, she's still that baby's mother. And she doesn't want to tear the child away from the mother. So that's my take on it.
Dead on, accurate. Totally agree. I've been saying it too, but Laura, you had a reason for leaving Nicholas all those years ago. The Cassadines are crazy as fuck. Okay. You did what you needed to do for your own survival. And I know there's guilt because if you thought you was there for your son, the outcome of his life might have been different. And you could be right. But then again, you were a good mother to him when you reunited when he was a teenager and you made up for lost time and you were a damn good mother. He just did some shit things that you can't excuse because he's a grown ass man and he made his mistakes. To a point, he's got to own up to it. But you can't feel guilty about this for the rest of your life. And Esme is no Laura. Never, ever, ever will she be you. She can't even tie up your shoelaces. Period.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. She's no Laura by no means of even the word. and I just, I don't know. Sometimes I'm a loss for words with Ebola because Ebola, excrement. How many names does this chick have?
Escape room. Shout out Chillo.
Escape room.
Envelope.
Oh God. The envelope that we wish we never opened.
Return to sender.
Yeah, exactly. Esme. Yeah. There's no comparison. I'm just stating, you know, Laura's guilt, but there is no comparison. She's no Laura. You know, she's not being held captive per se. She did wrong to a lot of people. What put me for a spin is I get that she doesn't have memory, and I know you're going to get to this when Trina shows up, but, and maybe, you know what, I'll just stop talking and you can bring that up to light and the audience up to speed with when Trina shows up to Spring Ridge, because I got a lot to say about that too.
It's a lot to unpack and we'll get to it momentarily, but I want to briefly get to Spencer, who was in that tizzy, leaving Kelly's, having his Marsha moment. Hello, Jan Brady. You've entered the chat. How are you? And he says he never watched classic sitcoms. He watched the Brady Bunch. He has to be having that Jan Brady energy for Esme. So he returns back to Sunny's penthouse. And as I predicted on the timeline a few days before, Dex would be there and Spencer would see him on site. And sure enough, he did. And the smoke was ready to go, saying, why aren't you outside with the other bodyguards doing their job with them? And Dex is like, well, I'm off duty. And he's like, what's up with that? So Sonny says, hey, cool your jets. He's living with me for a bit. And Spencer's face of like, I know you fucking lying. I leave one situation and here he is staring me right in the face. And it's the perfect segue to Thursday's GH. Because Dex is at Sonny's apartment or penthouse, I should say, because he could not do his goddamn job on Monday and Tuesday. You see, there was a shootout at the warehouse. And Dex is supposed to be a military man, a Marine, a fighter in Afghanistan, trained for these moments of combat. Told Sonny, I am trained for this. I am built for the moment. No need to worry, sir. I got this. So Sonny ducks and runs outside. And noted sharpshooter Dex gets shot by the sharpshooter. I fucking died laughing. So
I did too.
He was so built for the moment, he immediately got shot. Again, second injury in under 4 months. So Sonny Corinthos comes back and his men, or lack thereof, are just standing in the cut watching Dex get shot up by the barrels. So Sonny, noted coffee importer and apparent marksman, is going to take out the sharpshooter, shoot him dead, gone. Takes care of business, saves Dex's life again. So not only can't Dex shoot, can't even protect Sonny. So the sharpshooter dies, gets no intel on it. And Dex is so faint after this experience. Because once again, Chris, he's been to war. He has seen devastation. He has seen death around him. He is supposed to be built for this moment. But instead, like a damsel in distress, he falls into Sonny's arms, passes out. At first, I thought Sonny was going to, like, hey, Anybody got a bowl of spaghetti so I can just whiff it around his nose to wake him up? Because that's his go-to, because he's a noted Italian chef. La Cordon Bleu.
Yes.
So he wakes up and he hands him some water to rehydrate him. And he tells Dex, hey, you want to stay with me for a few days to, you know, rest up because you saved my life. No, I take that back. I saved yours. So come live with me. Hell, I should be doing your job and I'm supposed to be, you know, come on now. I'm doing your job for you. Don't make no damn sense. So they return to the penthouse and Spencer shows back up, as we said, on Wednesday, and he spots Dex, wants to know what's up. So Sonny gets a little bit of an attitude with Spencer on Thursday saying, hey, it's my house, my rules, anybody can stay here, open invitation for all. So you need to deal with it. So Spencer's trying to remain calm and cool. And Sonny's like, hey, lower your tone. I understand you've been going through a lot. And Spencer, once again, Jan Brady, has his moment of all the things he's gone through. Britt dead. Let's see. What's going on in my life? Cam's leaving town. My cousin Bessie's leaving me for a soccer scholarship at Stanford. And now my brother's locked up in Arkham with his crazy bitch of a mother. My life is in shambles. And now this guy's in my face constantly. And I'm not here for that, Uncle Sonny. So Sonny understands this to a point. And then Spencer spills some hot tea regarding, hey, guess what, Uncle Sonny? Dex is the reason Joss and Cam broke up. And I'm thinking, oh, shit. This is the moment we've been waiting for. Because as we all know, Joss told Cam about a month ago, don't tell anybody because Sonny will kill Dex if he finds out we've been together. So you want to know what Sonny's reaction was to finding out that Dex and Joss are possibly together? Shrugs his shoulders. Well, you know, that's her life. Whatever she decides to do with Cam, that's her business. So you're telling me we hyped up this moment for nothing? That's our payoff? Sonny doesn't care about Joss's dating life? First of all, good for you, Sonny. That's growth. Second of all, hey, Dex, why don't you dump Michael as your boss and throw him with Sonny? Because he's not going to be policing your dick. I'm just saying. That's what I would do. A guy not policing my sex life? I'll throw in with him and take all the shots because I know you can't shoot for shit. But Chris, your thoughts on Dex and Spencer being roomies temporarily?
Well, that's made for TV right there. That should be interesting. How long they're going to be roomies for, I don't know. I think Spencer, like the timeline has been saying, Spencer has money, way enough money to get his own place by now. We don't understand why these writers have him still with Sonny. Be that as it may, you had me dying with the whole Dex having experience. I mean, if you had this much experience, brother, in war time and fighting and Marines or whatever, what have you, I wouldn't want you fighting for me. That's for damn sure. I'd be running for the hills before I make him my bodyguard. I remember visualizing the scene as you're talking. I mean, he did this spin around and got shot, grazed by his arm. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Aren't you supposed to be this straight shooter? Like, this is, and like you said, this is the second time this guy got shot. Oh, and I saved his life. You didn't save nobody. He saved your life. And then when Spencer sees him, you know, in soap operas, they have that stare down for like 5 minutes long. And I cackled because looking at Spencer stare at Dex and vice versa, it was just hilarious to me, the stare down. Them realizing that he's in the penthouse and, you know, of course, Spencer is overdramatic and tells Dex, what the hell are you doing here, basically? You're supposed to be outside working with the bodyguards. And then Dex says, I'm off. And then we get down to the nitty gritty of why do you think, what is it that you think I'm lying to Sonny? And when Spencer just says to Dex, you broke up or you're seeing Joss basically. And then he spills the beans to Sonny. And I don't know, maybe I'm giving too much credit and I'll wear some clown makeup, as they say, if this comes out to be. But I don't think, I mean, Sonny has been known to be calculated. I don't think Sonny's going to do nothing with that 411 that dropped, that Spencer dropped on him. about Jocelyn breaking up with Cam and taking up Dex. I think that it's just another notch per se. And again, I could be wrong, but I think it's another thing that Sonny's just mulling in his mind, like, okay, let me keep an eye out on this guy. Because again, they have no wherewithal about this shooter that came and did that up in the warehouse with the both of them. So I don't know, you know, my wheels are spinning like, okay, was the shooter, does Dex know the shooter? You know, was there something going on? But then again, I may be thinking too deep here. Who knows? Something tells me that Sonny, even though he did not express it and he just kind of wagged it off to Spencer, like, you know, Joss can see whoever she wants. She could break up with Cam, whatever. And that's fine. Great that he's not involved in her sex life or Dex's for that matter. But I don't think that he's going to just not keep that in the back of his mind. Spencer, you know, being the roommate and, you know, having to deal with Dex in his face, I think it's more danger for Dex than it is for Spencer, because Spencer's already onto him and Dex knows it. And Dex is trying every which way to convince Spencer that nothing's going on by that lame excuse that he told Spencer about, well, do you know Joss to run away from anything? And he's like, no, or sneak around or something like that. And he's like, no. And I'm like, whatever, dude, this is going to be short-lived, because the longer you hang around Sonny's and the more you can get caught by Spencer hearing something or picking up on something. Spencer's not stupid. Spencer was on to him since day one. And then, you know, I don't know if you went on to, as he does his King Lear act, I call it.
Yes.
I felt, wow, did we switch to a Shakespeare in play all of a sudden? Welcome my guests in.
Don't just stand there.
Yeah, he had me dying. I'm like, okay, King Lear. Oh, Spencer and his dramatics. He's so theatrical. But I guess it's his way, his cover, you know, in a sense, because of all that he is going through. And, you know, when he did the laundry list with Sonny, as an audience member watching him go through all this, it just saddened me even more. Like, this poor kid is going, he's 20, what is he, 21 on the show, his character?
I think 20, he's 21. 20, 21, I think, yeah.
20, 21. They're in their young 20s. And people in their young 20s are still in college, or they're partying, or they're having the time of their life, especially if they have money. This kid has gone through so much shit. It's like one thing after the other, after the other. And then to find out his best friend slash cousin is leaving, the only friend aside from Trina that he feels that he truly has on his side. This kid is going through a lot. And then to see this guy who broke up Cam and Joss, living with him is gotta be like, are you freaking kidding me right now? Like, Uncle Sonny, do you really believe I need to deal with this ass? So yeah, I don't blame Spencer in the least for showing Dex some smoke, if you will, and dramatics.
Absolutely. He deserves all the smoke. But as you said, Chris, at some point, Spencer, my dear, you have got to get your own place. Now, I know when you called that realtor about a month or two ago, that when you said, how much you make in a week, 10,000, click. No, you got to downgrade a little bit, get you an apartment, maybe get your penthouse, economize yourself. And that's the way to go, because this isn't sustainable. If you don't want to be around Dex, move the hell out. That's what I would do at this point. You got the money, you've banked enough resources, move out. Not only for yourself, but for Trina too, because she needs a spot soon for y'all to do things. I'm just saying. Yeah. But to go back to what Chris noted earlier regarding the King Lear moment, I also call it the Prince John moment from Robin Hood, because he was so fucking extra. So he basically treated Dex like Benson. He opens the door and he just clears his throat. Don't just stand there. Show my guests inside. And William Lipton tried to hold every bit of that laugh inside. He did like a little smirk and held it. Evan tried, the wince covered up, but he almost lost it too. Nicholas is egregious for that. That delivery was fucking hilarious. It came out of nowhere and I laughed for a good 2 minutes. Like, his delivery of that line was hilarious. And I did go online and found Prince John clips and laughed for half an hour because it was the exact same energy. Petty as fuck.
Yeah, absolutely. it like you said, it came out of nowhere. Like, Nicholas just brings stuff out through the character of Spencer, and it's like he always makes you look back and like, okay, all right. And then, you know, I just cackled, like you said, for 2 straight minutes over it because I'm like, all right, was this all necessary? And you could tell, like you said, Dex and Cam, you know, you could tell Will was like trying to hold it in and stuff. But and then when they get to the door, Dex looking at Josh, oh, shit, that's an oh shit moment, because it's like, what's going to happen now? Like, is Josh going to like say something to him that's going to bring something up or something? Is she going to risk that with Cam standing right there? I'm like, oh, this is going to be messy. And I'm here for it. And of course, nothing happens. Typical GH fashion.
They tease us and they take it away. But it did prove Spencer's theory that Joss is in fact sneaking around.
Oh, yeah.
So we have that going on at Casa de la Sunny. So let's go to Spring Ridge, AKM Arkham Asylum. And it's the confrontation we have been waiting for a very long time. And I have noted this repeatedly in the last few months, and that we have had Tabiana Ali in the role of Trina Robinson for almost a year, and Avery Poole has been fantastic as Esme. They have only had 2 meaningful conversations on screen in the last 365. That is egregious.
That's crazy.
That is absolutely bonkers. The gallery was great last April. Then we have this scene outside of the pool incident that you mentioned earlier, Chris. This is the second verbal face-to-face confrontation between these two characters and actresses in a year.
When Trina showed up and offered the binky to Esme, like, you looking for this? I was like, oh shit, this is really happening. It was like I pulled up my chair to the TV screen. I was like, I can't wait for this. Please don't disappoint me, GH. Please. I hope, the one thing that came to mind was I really hope Trina gets her lick. What shocked me is the fact that she brought up the drugging. I was like, God damn, finally. Thank you. Thank you, GH writers, whoever wrote the script for today's segment. Because we as a fandom have been bringing this up consistently. When the hell is Trina going to have an opportunity to talk with Esme regarding her drugging? Because we were already upset and bent out of shape. The fact that Trina had to find out off screen that she was drugged, poor girl. But we lived with it. We moved on. And now we find ourselves here. And finally, we get this moment where Trina sits down in front of Esme eye to eye, face to face, and says, girl, but you drugged me and you don't remember that? Are you saying you're guilty? And I was like, yes, Trina, go in for the kill, girl. And, you know, of course, Esme's, you know, whether we believe she's playing it off, she doesn't remember, and that she's all of a sudden sorry to Trina for hurting her and her friends. And what I didn't appreciate is now you're listening to your lawyer tell you and fill in supposedly the gaps of your memory loss. That the lawyer's telling her basically her father influenced her. I call bullshit. Your father didn't influence you. Play back the video damn tape. Because if you recall, when she went to visit Ryan in the asylum or wherever he was in Pentonville, I remember that episode specifically where they were talking and he said to her, oh, hell no, this is your plan. I never told you to go after Trina and Spencer. I could care less about your boyfriend. And she decided to go another route with the so-called plan that her father Dearest and her had. And so for her, you know, I'm a little pissed at that because I understand she doesn't have no recollection, but I can't wait till she does have recollection because it's not going to be Ryan who influenced you on that. But unfortunately, there's no way to prove that. But that part really pissed me off because I'm like, oh, here we go.
That bothered me too, regarding her trying to pass the buck to Ryan from hell, trying to say, hey, he influenced me. So basically, she already had her defense strategy ready to go. And I hate that. And the worst part is, we know who gave her the strategy. Martin Gray.
Right.
Kentucky Fried Martin. I like Martin. But Laura is your sister. Spencer is your great nephew. And you want to cook up the Ryan Chamberlain made me do it defense.
Yeah.
He tried it.
He did.
But as you said, Chris, I appreciate the fact that Trina admitted on camera that she was drugged. We have been begging for this moment for well over a year. We always wonder, does she know? Has her mom told her she was drugged? Finally, we know. But still, it's a little unsatisfying because she found out off camera that she was drugged. So we never know who told her. Was it her mom? Was it Britt? Was it Spencer? Who told you? You were drugged.
Right.
We got to do better, GH. You opened the door last year at this cabin for this most heinous scene, for the teen scene I have seen on this show in years. We had a black woman get drugged in a cabin. And she's locked in her room alone to sleep it off. And her best friends across the hall get it in the same damn night. You opened the door. It was sloppy. It was stupid. It was tone deaf as fuck. And then you want to say, hey, at least we gave you something. We told you we would finish this story, but we find out she finds out off screen. That's not good enough. But I'm glad we got the breadcrumb that at least she knows she was drugged. And I appreciate the fact that Trina said, you know what? You might not remember this shit, but I can't forget it. My friends can't forget this. You have the luxury of not remembering. And Esme, who I still think is Esme somewhere in there, is like, well, you know, I'm so sorry about what happened. But my daddy made me do it, allegedly. And who are you to say that's not true otherwise? And besides, if I can't remember anything, it wouldn't be fair for me to go to jail for something I don't remember. And I'm like, bitch, please. So I know you're still in there somewhere with that damn defense strategy.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. There's people in the fandom that I don't know where they fall under regarding Esme. I personally don't think she's on the up and up. She may have lost her memory, but I think it's slowly regaining. That's my opinion. I think just in those scenes alone with Trina, to me, yeah, you love your baby and all, and you care for the baby, but there's some stuff that came out the real Esme. And I'm just like, very cautious, red flag thrown up in the air. In my mind, I'm like, I don't know if you're all that, you know, forgetting your memory. Because then all of a sudden she asks Trina the question, well, are you his girlfriend? When she gets triggered by Trina stating, oh, Spencer's baby brother, he's a real cutie. All of a sudden, Esme goes from calm 0 to 60 and goes irate. Well, is Spencer around? Did he tell you to come here? Where is he? Is he outside? And Trina's like, chill. And I love that about Trina. I was like, okay, girl, tell her. And that Spencer didn't even know she was there. And she tells him this. And then all of a sudden Esme asks Trina, are you his girlfriend? Wait a minute. What does that have to do with her being there and talking about what you did to her and her friends? What is it to you if she was his girlfriend? What do you care? So that's part, these little things, these nuances that happen to come up in the segment, just, they're little red flags for me, like, the true Esme is slowly coming up, you know, and I wonder how they're going to play that out. I wonder when, but I wonder how they're going to have Avery Pohl play, if they do, that she will regain her memory back.
That's the key question.
Is she playing a good game? Yeah.
She might play in a great game. Because there was definitely elements of her that came out because she had a whole strategy for how she can get off.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
oh, yeah.
That sounds like Esme because she's calculated to a fault. So
yeah.
Trina's like, well, I've seen enough. Mm-hmm. She sussed out the situation because she's very savvy and smart that way. And I love how Tabby played it the entire time. Like, let me investigate and let me fish and let me get some tea on this new and improved Esme, allegedly, with this cute, adorable, chunky baby. But let's not bury the lead, Chris. So when Trina showed up initially to give the binky back to Esme, little Chunk Chunk saw Trina. And let's not also bury the following co-lead, that Trina was wearing her special Pentonville sweater, the lavender sweater with a zipper that apparently hypnotizes all Cassadine men. Spencer and Chunk Chunk alike. Chunk Chunk looked at Trina. He was like, hey, girl. So this is super handsome Big Brother's girl, Trina Robinson. Has he locked it down yet? Because if he ain't locked this down yet, call me. Mm-hmm. Chunk Chunk trying to shoot his shot.
He sure did. I mean, that cutie pie, he just smiled at Trina like nobody's business. And I mean... the playbacks, the gifts, the photo edits that our fandom did of Chunk Chunk looking at her. I was like, okay, he's trying to shoot his shot. Forget Spencer. He's like, take me home.
Can you rock me, hold me, sing to me, Trina? Because it sounds like you can do all those things for me over this woman holding me. I don't like her. Can you take me home with you? I guess I'll tolerate Big Brother too. But you, oh yeah, I can see what he sees in you. Give me your number. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. That was so cute. This baby is the best.
That was cute.
Absolutely yeah. Precious and adorable. So Esme, ever the strategist once again, is asking Trina before she leaves, did I pass the test? And then she says, well, I might not remember anything, but I'm not stupid. And Trina clapped back saying, of course you're not stupid. You a liar, proven in fact,
right. But
you ain't stupid. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to see for myself if you are who you say you are, if you truly don't remember who you are. And Esme vows, Trina, I swear, I don't remember anything past me getting out that water that night pregnant. The hypothermia changed my life. I apologize for what I've done, but I am a different person now. I'm trying to be a good mother. And Esme leaves the scene with her baby. And Trina is going to assess the situation, immediately call Joss for a meeting of the Midnight Society. The Scooby Gang gets together before noon at Spencer's penthouse. And we have a meeting of the minds because Trina Robinson is smarter than the entire PCPD because she has examined the evidence. She has assessed the situation and she has come to the conclusion that Amnesiac Esme, if this went to trial, she would actually win because those white Karen tears would work on that jury like nobody's business. Oh, I can't remember nothing. My mom's a homicidal maniac. My dad's a serial killer. They're both crazy. My DNA's fucked up. I don't remember any of the things I've done. I'm trying to be a mother. Huh. If she did all that on the stand, the jury would feel sorry for her and she would have actually been found not guilty or acquitted. So Trina's like, listen up, guys. In order to trap her, we can't have her have the situation of double jeopardy. If she goes free, we can't try her again. But if we drop the charges and let them hang a bit, and when she remembers, we can get her back in jail and have her face these charges appropriately. There is pushback from Joss and Spencer, especially because he wants Esme to pay. But eventually they come around to Trina's way of thinking because she's the smartest cookie in Port Charles when it comes to crime and punishment. So I'm all for this, but at the same time, this is one big sacrifice she's making. The woman that almost sent you to prison for 5 to 10 years for a crime you did not commit. It is not lost on me that the anniversary of the frame job was around this meeting on Thursday, which is crazy. So you're making a big sacrifice for baby Damian Chunk Chunk Cassadine, for that baby to be free from jail and to be able to be around his brother when need be, if allowed to do so. And it's a smart strategy, but I'm mixed on it because when you think about it, Chris, very rarely on daytime, villains go to prison and pay for their crimes.
Absolutely. We know Sonny never did. It was always his henchman Jason that went. Poor Chunk Chunk. But Trina, her plans be planning, as we say in the fandom. And I got to give it to her. A lot of people in the fandom weren't sure as the segment was playing and the timeline was about to blow up because they're like, Trina, girl, get it together. Like, what are you doing? And then we all of a sudden see the episode go left and it goes back on track because Trina has a plan. And she's so smart and intelligent. And the way Tatiana plays her is so calculated. I love it because she comes back to the penthouse and she tells the Scooby-Doo gang, like true Velma and Daphne wrapped up into one.
Because she's wearing purple. Very fitting.
Yes, she's wearing purple. And she's telling the Get Along gang, listen, if we dare try to go through with these charges and she goes through this whole court battle, guess what? That jury is just going to see the tears, the amnesiac, the crazy parents, psychomaniac parents that she has that obviously influenced her and got her into all this trouble. And she's trying to just love on her child and take care of her baby and be a good mother. And that jury is definitely going to side with Esme. And Trina knows it. And if Esme is free, Trina's point in telling Spencer and the Get Along gang is that we can't do double jeopardy. We cannot try her twice on the same thing. And I was like, when I heard her say that to them, I was like, yes, Trina, smart as you are. Thank God someone has come to reason. As much as I want Esme to pay, and we all do, we know for sure that she will not be going to prison. We knew that from day one. And we knew that from when she was locked up in the tower. And so I was just glad that Trina came up with this plan. Spencer was like at first a little iffy, but you know what? I liked what Spencer said to her because I know we got to take the crumbs as we get them, and they are crumbs these days. So I'm not going to give too much credit, but the crumb that I noticed is when he turned around to Trina and said, are you sure you're okay with watching her go free and roam the streets of Port Charles again? And she's like, yes, because if that means your brother is not being raised in a prison with a bunch of security guards and criminals, then we have to do this. But I think all of them basically agreed, we're going to be on our guard with this chick because, you know, she slips up but once and the charges are going to be slapped right back on her. So we'll see how this plays out, but I give Trina mad props because she came through with the plan and talked the Scooby-Doo gang into it. So they're all in agreement. And, you know, as we found out on Friday, they all talk to Diane about it, and Diane pleads it with the DA, Robert Scorpio, about it. So.
And he's all in on it. It took a little bit of convincing. And I'm going to get to Diane's joke about Esme because I got all the princesses lined up. All six of them. Because she said six rolled into one. I got my six. I got my six.
Yeah, that was funny.
I laughed because it was accurate. I'm like, I had to think about it. Let me get six princesses from Disney to assess this. I'm like, I got it. So we're going to dive into that in a minute. But Trina, genius. I love her. Yeah. She's so fucking smart. Like, we ain't going to trial because we'll lose. So let's re-strategize. Let's think about this intelligently. And she did so. So she got the Scooby Gang in order. So she's definitely Daphne / Velma. Fred is obviously Spencer. Shaggy is Cameron. I am not going to be real shady and say Dex is Scooby-Doo. But...
or Scrappy.
Or Scrappy. Oh, shit. Oh, Chris.
Wait a minute. Joss better get some Scooby snacks ready.
Wait a minute. Oh, no. Tiffany, I think you lost this week. Because Chris.
You know, there was Scooby and Scrappy, so... Uh-oh, I lost Keela.
First of all, you'd have to downgrade him like that.
Well, he do have the short arms. No, let me stop. What did they call their van?
The mystery machine.
The mystery machine.
Oh. I was trying to give him a little credit. Scooby-Doo, Chris, and no, he's Scrappy. Because he has no discernible skills.
No, he can't even shoot. He can't even shoot straight.
Oh my God. He has no aim. Now, I hope he has aim when it counts most. But then I realized.
Well, do we hope he has aim?
Now, based on past performances, he only lasted a couple of minutes. He was a 1 minute man. But hopefully he's gotten better since he found a bed recently. But, oh my God. Tiffany, I'm sorry. Chris has taken your title this week for comparing Dex to Scrappy-Doo. Good God Almighty. Lord Jesus. So, as I'm trying to recover from this, Lord, we have a private moment between Spencer and Trina. And, you know, I love Moon Eyes, but I think we're a bit hungrier now. We're tired of living off breadcrumbs, okay? So they're staring. It's beautiful. And Cameron's like, you two get a goddamn room already. You know, he's like, can y'all just stop looking at each other? Because I ain't got that in my life right now. So he's like, can we move on? And then we got Joss over here being a cock blocker. Here, Trina, here's your jacket. Let's go. I'm like, girl, stop. Stop policing Trina's sex life. So Trina is going to tell Cam and Joss, can we have a moment to ourselves here? I'll follow you in the lobby. So we think it to ourselves, okay. So this is Daphne and Fred from Scooby-Doo. They're going to find a way to get it in private because they're always, you know, they always leave the scene, Chris mid-episode. Like, we're going to follow these clues over here. We never see them. But I know that Fred sweated the fuck out of Daphne's edges wherever they went. No, he did. Got it in. I was hoping and praying that we had something with Spencer and Trina on this day. But they talked about Trina and how she was making this big sacrifice for Chunk to get him out of jail. And she hopes it works and that Esme's not playing games. And Spencer hopes that she's right. And then you would think to ourselves, okay, you told everybody to leave the room. And they're staring at each other. And we don't get a hug. We don't get an arm caress. We don't get hand holding. We don't get nuzzling foreheads. We don't get a kiss on the cheek. We don't get nothing. I was like, why did you even ask to be alone if we weren't going to get a little something? And it's going to dive into our last topic shortly, but Chris, your take for Spencer and Trina on this Thursday's GH, that kind of left fans feeling empty because, like I said, the looks are looking. Tab and Nick give us what we need, but it ain't enough anymore. I want a bit more than looks, even though they give me enough to survive week to week.
Yeah. Love their looks. Have no qualms about how they act, you know, nonverbal. Their nonverbal has always been on point, key, 100%. But like you said, the fandom has now seen where they can go physically, and we're looking for more. Why is it that GH can show us flashbacks of freaking Esme and Nicholas and flashbacks of Joss and Dex, but we can't get a touch, handhold, a caress of the cheek, something, a hug, something. They had a moment alone. All I can muster up in my logical brain is that, you know, we've talked about in the fandom how they sometimes tape out of order. So my guess is that maybe this was taped, could have been taped, maybe before the kiss, and they're still playing off this thing. I don't know. But GH has to do better with our couple because, listen, I'm not, as much as I want them to have a love scene and all that, that's great. If we got to wait a couple of more weeks for that or months, fine, I guess. We waited 2 years for the kiss. I guess we could wait a little more for the, you know, sex and all that. But come on, in the meantime, we're still getting looks. I mean, they were given looks when they were in the friend zone. For God's sake, let's get it together here. So I'm with you on that. I don't know. It was disappointing, and I can say the fandom was frustrated. We were frustrated, duly so. Don't want to negate anyone's feelings in that frustration. But you know what? As we're used to always doing, we got to pick ourselves up again and anxiously await for the upcoming scenes. Because one thing's for certain, our co-captains have always told us, you know, don't worry, things are coming. And when they're excited, it gets me excited. So that's what I'm holding on to. Hold on to hope.
Me too. Hold on to that cooking sherry. Hold on to it. Sip on it when you need to. Take it to the head a little bit. Get that little buzz and then put that shit down because we're going to be all right. You're going to be all right.
Yeah.
Because I felt the same way too. I felt frustrated because it's been a month almost since the kiss. And we're not asking for sex necessarily. It would be great.
Right.
I would do backflips over sex and lovemaking. Right. But as a fandom at this point, when a kiss like that goes down in that manner and it's hot, and it's steamy and it's unforgettable, and we find something new every day via GIFs and fan edits and slowdown analysis. When you have a kiss like that, if we were kissed like that, I want to do it over and over and over again, among other things. But if I can't do the other things, I would want to at least reach out to that person and I want to feel them. I want to hug them. We got a hug last week. But I want more kisses. I want some hand-holding. I want to be caressed. I want to be held. I want to have intimate conversations about our relationship status. Because we know we was about to do something, but I want to know what this means to you. And hopefully we get that next week. But even if we don't, we need those intimate moments, those moments in between the beats that are missing for me in the storyline. Because when you have a kiss like that, you want a big follow-up. And you mentioned something very important in that this could be taped out of order to accommodate William and Eden's schedule. Very true.
Yeah.
But if I'm still writing as a breakdown writer and you saw the kiss beforehand, if that's already in the front of mind, you've got to make some adjustments to play into those beats more. Because we see other couples have their moments after trauma, if you know what I mean.
I mean, look at Crew. Ew. I mean, I didn't need to have that kitchen scene. Good God almighty. And the brownies? Brownies of all types of food, really? You have to re-traumatize the Sabrina fandom? Okay.
Hopefully.
But can...
Hopefully Carly's brownies were a bit more moist than brownie bitches.
Let's not go there.
I'm just saying. Oh, she had some milk on the side because those bitches was dry.
Maybe that was the Scooby snacks to give to Jocelyn.
Oh my God. Chris. So you're, and what gets me when you think about it, when she fixed those brownies last week, everybody was gone from the house. Who the fuck were you cooking it for? Frank and them? The security.
Wait,
Frank?
Who did she mention? No, who did she mention liked the brownies? Oh, they were for Willow.
She don't give a fuck about them brownies.
Exactly.
In her medical condition, because she tastes the goddamn brownies.
Listen, you mentioned something that I wanted to go back to real quick. Can we just talk a few seconds about the fact that, okay, we can't get hand-holding. We can't get any more physical touch from these two. Why can't there be a conversation at least, a follow-up of, yo, we just kissed passionately and almost did it in the damn gallery. What's going on between us? I know that we're like battling some things right now in our individual lives as well as together, but can they just have a little conversation? Like, how do you feel? How do you feel? Where do you see us going with this? You know, is there anything going on? You know, something that resembles some normality. I mean, if I was kissed down like that in a gallery, shit. I mean, I'd expect some kind of convo to follow up. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So yeah, it's kind of disappointing. Here's hoping to next week.
I'm praying hard.
With my cooking sherry.
Keep it on standby. You might need it. I might need to take a sip too, because I am irritated a little bit, because the conversation is important. Physical intimacy is important, but emotional intimacy means a lot to me too. If I am kissed like that, I would like to know, where do we stand? Because now I'm going to randomly pick a Sabrina song out of nowhere, because you brought up a very good point. Like, where do we stand here? Hopefully we get some answers starting this week, because it's lacking right now. And I think as a fandom, we need something to hold on to again, despite the kiss, which is great. But I do need that reaffirmation that this is happening, in terms of, we going to be official and there's no more friend zone, even though Trina said we're friends on Thursday to Esme, rightfully so, because it ain't none of your business. But I don't think Trina knows where they stand, and that's a problem.
Well, she doesn't know. And I don't know if you noticed, but she kind of hesitated when she did answer Esme, because I think she was thinking too, like, oh, wait a minute, where do we stand? You know, that type of thing going on in her head. And I may be wrong with my speculation, but I really, by reading Trina's facial expressions to Spencer this past week in the penthouse when they were talking and she was sharing the plan and then they got alone, she looked to him like more with the smiles and the doe eyes. And I didn't get nothing from him. Even at Kelly's, I didn't get nothing from him. Granted, I know he was pissed and he was in his feelings and he was being all dramatic and theatrical, but usually you get something from him when she's in his presence. And I didn't feel I got much from Spencer towards her in that way than I did from her towards him. I could be wrong, but.
You dead on. I think you're absolutely right, because she felt like, here I am being a bit open, I'm being a little flirty here, but he's got that one track mind. He's Jan Brady. I keep saying Esme, 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 Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. This is one track tonal vision right now of baby Esme, baby Esme, baby, baby, baby Esme. And that's all he's thinking about right now. And I hope that he makes room for, hey, by the way, this woman that I love is doing all of this for me. She's making this giant sacrifice to free Chunk Chunk from the pen. I would like to thank her by saying, hey, we're more than friends. I've been feeling that way, hell, since the beginning of our relationship, when we couldn't even define it as such.
Yeah. But here's to hope, like I said.
We're going to hold on, Chris. Share the bottle with me, okay? We're going to sip together. We're going to marinate on it. But let's dive into Sabrina speculations for the week ahead. Things to look forward to on GH for this week, starting today, because we had no idea we were going to get a bonus Spencer day today. He talks to somebody at the MetroCourt bar, I presume is Uncle Victor, about, unfortunately, more baby talk.
I don't know. Honestly, I'm tapped out on that whole thing. I don't know where that's going. And if it is Uncle Victor, I don't know. I just see it as more wasted time.
Yeah.
Like, what else are you going to talk about? They're going to find out. I'm hoping that they find out that Robert has dropped the charges on Friday. And so that'll at least give him some alleviation that his brother's going to be out of that pen and, you know, into a safer environment. Where that environment will be, who knows? My money's on Laura and Kevin taking her in. That's probably the best place right now for her, just because she has no way of bringing in money. She's broke. So, you know, it's not like she has a trust fund waiting for her. Although maybe she does, come to think of it. Didn't she have one that she was waiting on, or was that all a lie when she was talking to Spencer about waiting on her trust fund?
That is another valid question, and we don't know. But then again, she was trying to break in a Windermere in the safe, so she might be broke.
Yeah, true. Broke ass.
Broke ass Esme. Love that nickname for her, because she ain't got no job. She don't. Nope. Well, hopefully Spencer, while he's at the MetroCourt, also takes that $10K a week that he makes and books the top suite at the MetroCourt for himself and preferably Trina as well.
Yeah.
Please do.
That would be lovely.
We'd love to see it. So we're going to segue to Wednesday's GH, because Curtis and Trina have an awkward run-in.
I don't know. It's interesting to see where the run-in takes place. Are they at the hospital? Why would they be at the hospital, though? Unless, I don't know. I don't know where this run-in will take place, but I don't know. I don't even know. I can only speculate that their conversation obviously will lead towards possibly convincing her, maybe once again, trying to talk her into getting that DNA test. I think Ava did a little pushing on his behalf to help her navigate through that decision. I think Trina maybe be closer to taking it to find out. But again, sometimes the storyline feels so disjointed because we've been hearing nothing but Esme and the baby that we kind of dropped off a little bit about her storyline with the paternity. I mean, the last time we checked, she was talking to Ava and filling Ava in. And like I said, Ava was trying to, you know, make her see reason that, you know, what is so wrong with wanting to know. So I hope Trina does wind up getting the paternity test just so we can all put our minds at ease and know for certain what the deal is. Although I feel in my heart of hearts that Curtis is her father. But that doesn't mean that changes anything per se for Trina and Taggart. Taggart will always be her father, always be her daddy. That's the person that raised her, loved her, spent most time with her. And so we leave it at that. Yeah, it's going to be awkward between them because of where they left off in her dorm room. it was just fresh, you know, ripping off a Band-Aid off a wound, so to speak, when they talked in her dorm room. But I don't know. I would hope that this conversation brings them a little closer towards the middle, per se, of wanting to get the test done and know for certain what's up on the up and up.
Exactly, because Ava gave her some great advice on last Thursday's GH, talking about, like, you want to know who you are when you look in the mirror. Because Taggart's your daddy, but that DNA is important, too, because you want full recognition of who Trina Robinson is. And I love that. And I hope that Trina does go through the test, find out who your dad is. But always and forever, Marcus Taggart is going to be your father, and Curtis will be your bald-headed second father. And you'll love him equally, eventually, despite his overprotective ass. Just saying. But then we get to the episode we really need a Hail Mary on. Because on Thursday's GH, Spencer reassures Trina regarding what? Hopefully their relationship status. Hopefully he reassures her with his lips.
That's what we would all hope for and want. But in true GH fashion and form, I'm not putting all my eggs in that basket just because we've been disappointed how many times before with the writing and the lack of continuity. So I don't know. I mean, for all we know, Spencer reassures Trina that what? Everything with Daddy is going to be okay. Daddy Curtis, Daddy Taggart. It could be anything, but we're hoping that it's finally the time where they get some alone time and they get to sit down and reassess. Listen, where are we? I don't want to forget about what happened, even though there's a lot of things going on around us. I hope that that's what happens, because I would love to see the writers go in the direction for Spencer. Like, listen, you did all this for me. You came up with this plan to not charge her so that we can get baby Ace out of there and into a safer environment. And I mean, at that point, that should melt Spencer's heart. I mean, wasn't it not too long ago that we found them at Kelly's talking about, you know, well, would you date a man? Would you want to be with a man that's raising a child? Well, she now has shown you that she's okay with it and that she has gone the extra mile, so to speak, to show you that she loves you and that she cares about you and your brother and his well-being. Like I said, we hope that that's the case, but I'm not going to put all my eggs in that basket.
We're going to hold on to hope. We're going to hold on to the Sherry. If you're going to take it to the head on Thursday, we'll see about it. But I'm hoping it's that conversation, Chris, because we need it. We need that reassurance as a fandom. And Trina needs that reassurance as a possible, most likely girlfriend and maybe wife someday, to know the things I'm doing for you mean something, that I care about your brother enough to get him out of the pen for you. And if you can stop thinking about that one track mind for a second and think about us, hey, be happy, get lost in us for a minute and have that happy place that you can go to. Cause right now those options are limited with Cam leaving and everything in your life pretty much being shit besides me. And they need that moment to themselves, God willing, hopefully on Thursday's GH. Then on Friday, Spencer mulls over his strategy, possibly over Esme, because she's also in the episode on Friday because she is skeptical. So I'm assuming they cross paths, and leading into next week's spoilers is going to be a hot ass mess.
Mulls over his strategy. I'm assuming that's the strategy that's really Trina's.
Because his plans suck.
They do. And when he's left to his own demise, forget it. It's like he's so dramatic and he ruins everything, but he can't help himself. You know, my hope is that he mulls over his strategy. But, you know, it also, I don't know if you caught the spoiler for Esme on Wednesday, that she weighs her options. I'm thinking that she's weighing her options of where to go with Ace. Where to live. How is she going to now live out this so-called freedom that she now, newfound freedom that she finds herself in? And then he mulls over his strategy, as perhaps strategy meaning what's he going to do now that Esme is out and he has free rein in the sense of he doesn't have to go to Spring Ridge to visit them per se, but he has to kind of play nicey nice with her if he wants to see his brother wherever they wind up living. I don't know.
I like it. And that's very likely, because most likely she's being freed next week with the charges being dropped and she has got to go somewhere, and it might very well be Laura and Kevin's space because she ain't got no job, broke as Esme.
Right.
And now it is time for one of my favorite parts of the show, our last segment, which is the Sprina Song Picks of the Week, the songs that best describe our favorite ship on GH every single week. So Chris, what are your song picks for the Sprina playlist that I will be uploading and adding to Spotify sometime today?
I thought about this. I've been listening to 80s music lately. I don't know why. It's just been my thing lately. And I came across Love is a Battlefield by Pat Benatar. Because I was thinking of this past week's episodes and I'm like, Love is a Battlefield, both for Sprina and for Cameron and Joss. So, yep, that's my choice.
I love it because everybody is going through it right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And no lies. No lies at all. And they're going through it. Hopefully things will get better. But I have a shout out this week from one of our listeners and a former co-host on this show. What's up, Tasha Jones? How you doing? Shouting you out because you sent in a special request to me via Twitter. Shout out to Marley, to the unofficial Sprina mascot, that cute, adorable dog. Cutest little thing. Yeah. So she wants a shout out and a song request to be added to the playlist. And we're going into the Alicia Keys bag of the Element of Freedom album that went out to everyone back in the year 2009. And the song she has chosen to be added to the playlist is That's How Strong My Love Is. And I'm going to pull up the lyrics because I'm nosy. And I want to know what's tea with this song. So let's do this right now. I love Googling on this show. That's How Strong My Love Is by Alicia Keys. Some people, they call me crazy for falling in love with you. Sounds like Trina. Yes, it does. They can take me and lock me away, baby, because there's nothing those bars can do. I'll be the rising moon after setting sun, just to let you know you always have someone. I'll be the clearest day when the rain is done, so you will always know. Through the shake of an earthquake, I will never fall. That's how strong my love is. Like a ship through the storm, we can risk it all. That's how strong my love is. I used to feel kind of lonely because the world can be so fake. All that matters, I'm telling you, is you and me alone and the fortress from love we make. And I really love these lyrics. I'm not going to go through all of them, but that is a very fitting song for Sprina based on what I see before me right now. I remember the album. Have not listened to it in a very long time, but definitely these lyrics hit. And as for my song pick, this week. A couple of song picks and a bonus one because we were talking throughout this show and Chris inspired me. Because, yes, you did. You gave me an extra song this week. But I'm also going into my old school bag of the 1990s because Trina made a big sacrifice for Spencer. So I'm going to pick the Pretenders. I'll Stand By You.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Love that song. So 90s. I hear you, Chris, harmonizing. You can sing a couple of bars as I pull up these lyrics.
Nah, that's okay. Sorry, I slipped up. Nobody's supposed to know that.
Hey, you got bars, though. You was singing. I love it. I appreciate it. But key lyrics for this song that I love as well. So if you're mad, get mad. Spencer was very mad this week. Don't hold it all inside. Come on and talk to me now. Hey, what you got to hide? I get angry too. Well, I'm a lot like you when you're standing at the crossroads and you don't know which path to choose. Let me come along, because even if you're wrong, I'll stand by you. Won't let nobody hurt you. I'll stand by you. Take me in into your darkest hour and I'll never desert you. I'll stand by you. That's Trina Robinson to Spencer Cassadine. And I want that conversation going down on Thursday, by the way.
Yes.
Another song pick I had this week before I get to my bonus one by way of Chris is You and I by Jeff Buckley. One of my favorite songs by him. It's an unfinished song. When he was writing this song, it was a process, hell, maybe 7 years in, and he passed away before he could finish it. But it's still, in its barest bones, still an absolutely gorgeous song with vocal acrobatics for days. And the lyrics are so beautiful and deep. And so Sprina, once again, as she's trying to be by her man's side through it all. And key lyrics for this song is, I want to see you shine. And we will feel the weight fall away from us in time. Searching our past for the true. You and I, all for you. Where you think you'll fall, I adore you. Where you shut your soul, I open for you. If we had only known in a way, we never reached this ground. I'll know. Silver eyes, I can see us shine. I said we will feel the weight fall away from us in time. Searching for our past for a true. You and I, you and I. It's a beautiful song. Love it. Beautiful. And finally, by way of Chris, because she inspired me, because we're trying to find out the relationship status for Spencer and Trina. Do I Want to Know by the Arctic Monkeys? Do this feeling flow both ways? God damn it. Does it? That's all I want to know. Do I want to know? Arctic Monkeys. Thank you, Alex Turner. God bless you, sir. Love him. And with that, these are the song picks this week. Wide ranging, from Alicia Keys.
Yes.
To Love is a Battlefield, to some Pretenders, to Jeff Buckley, to the Arctic Monkeys. We give you variety on this show and we appreciate it. But with that, it's time to bid adieu to all of you. And I want to thank Chris because she was not ready to be a co-host on this evening. But Francesca Valentini said, bet. And she said, you going to go in here tonight, be a co-host, and do the damn thing. And in doing so, break me for the second time in this show's history.
Well, thank you so much, Keila. It's always a pleasure and always have a great time talking with you of all things Sprina and GH. And so, glad I was able to come through for you. Francesca, you better come through at some point, girl. We miss you. And yeah, I had a great time. Lots of laughs.
So much fun, Chris. I enjoyed you. And Francesca, Texas, we waiting for you. The seat is warm. Open invitation always. We will miss you as always. But we'll be back next week for one more Sprina Sessions before I go on spring break. Because we're going to take a little time out for a week or two, come back refresh, reloaded, post-Nurses Ball right here on Restoptopia. But we got one more week to go before we say adieu. Big weekend for myself and for the Sprina Nation out there is going to see Tab and Nick on the road in New Jersey and New York. It's going to be a blast. Ooh. Cannot wait to see all the shenanigans and fun on the timeline. It's going to be a blast. Me, WrestleMania weekend coming up as well. So no shows coming up first week of April. But we got one more in the back for you this week with all the things going down on General Hospital regarding our favorite ship. So until then, that's the Spina Sessions for this week. For myself and for Chris, in the words of the great Trina Carisha Robinson, well, good night. Or is it a good night? And this is totally a post-production edit by me because I forgot something during the show. I did not list the 6 Disney princesses rolled into one that embodies Esme's defense on the stand if this ever went to trial. So I'm going to shout out Snow White, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Belle, Rapunzel, and Elsa. Those are going to be the princesses Esme will call to get off these charges. But it ain't going to happen here. Save your tears, honey, because you're going down perfectly with Trina whooping your ass. And with that, this is the end of the sessions for real. Take care. Have a great week, guys. Bye-bye.